Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Hallelujah. I just want to welcome all of those who have come to worship with us this morning, not those just here who are in the sanctuary, but also those who are tuning in on iChurch in Spanish and in English. We welcome you. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, please let us know. There should be some information tabs to your right. You can give to this program if you would like to. That is what is your faithful giving and support that keeps iChurch on the air. Or if you just want to send us an email, give us a testimony as to what Yahweh has manifested in your life. We would love to hear from you. This is the Church of Truth Seekers. We're called that because we seek the truth. It's not about denomination, it's not about religion, it's not about tradition, but it is about what the Word says. And we yield ourselves to that. And so if you are also a truth seeker and you want to get to know the Savior at a deeper level, one of the ways you can start doing that is to know him by his true Hebrew name, Yeshua, which means he will save. And his true Hebrew name is?
Yeshua.
All right. Hallelujah. So it's a blessing to come before you this morning. It seems like it has been a while since we have talked about our subject, that our series that we have been working on for a few weeks now. The subject of holiness. And not just holiness, but a hunger for holiness. And we basically have found that holiness in its purest form is a set apart lifestyle. Because you as believers, when you came and he transformed your lives, he set you apart. He did something in you. And that set apart lifestyle is what allows people, other people who haven't received that yet, to see what that's like. They experience that change. They see what that change means. They see what that change does. They see how that change navigates us. How are they going to see what Yahweh can do? Through you, through us, through the lifestyle that we lead, the set apart lifestyle. And so that's what we find out what holiness is. If we go to Galatians, the 5th chapter, just to bring us back to what we left off on, just by the mere fact that you are sitting in church on a Sunday at 12:46 in the afternoon on a 3-day weekend, you could be anywhere. You could be in Vegas right now. I mean, I'm not saying anything is wrong with that. People will say Vegas is Sin City. Well, any city that you sin in is Sin City. You can sin in Compton, L.A., Inglewood, Cerritos. Okay, Carson. You don't leave nobody out, right? But just by the mere fact that you have made a choice to position yourself to be in the house of Yahweh is a blessing. Amen. That come around on key, too. It's a blessing. Let's give the saint next to you a hand for coming and being here in the house of Yahweh. We could be somewhere else.
Because, you know, they use a three-day weekend to turn up, you know. Even believers. But we are here in the house. It's 12:47. Somebody is having brunch somewhere in Southern California. But you guys are here. So that means that there is a commitment to Yahweh. There's a commitment to the word. There's a commitment to this lifestyle. You know, it's not easy sitting in church on a Sunday from 9 o'clock all the way to, you know how we do it. We do it like till 2, sometimes till 3. Sometimes there's a meeting afterwards, right? But it's that dedication that says that there's a relationship there, right? But it has to mean something. Just because you come and demonstrate that on Sunday, it's not enough. You got to be able to get out here next week and show the lifestyle wherever you're at, and you're at work, if you're at school, if you, wherever, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Holiness is a lifestyle. It's a set-apart lifestyle that people will say, you know, there is something different about you. I don't know what it is. We call that a door of utterance. That means that person has given you the opportunity for you to share with them what the difference is. Well, I'm glad that you said that, because this is why I'm different. And there it is, a door that opens for you to what? Share the gospel. And so that's what we lend ourselves to. But we have to be people who are actually living the lifestyle to talk about the lifestyle. Don't just talk about it. You got to what? Live it. And I like to say, don't just talk about it, be about it. Let it be the way that we live. And so if you turn to Galatians, the 5th chapter with me, what I love about when we get into the Gospels in the New Testament, where the apostle, he's not just speaking to people who are in the world. He's specifically speaking to the believer. He's specifically giving instructions to the church people of the day. And so when you look in here, he's saying some stuff. And you think that, oh, when he's talking about, a best way really to describe, a good way to describe the lifestyle that we should be living is to illustrate a lifestyle that we shouldn't be living. Now, somebody didn't follow me. The best way to illustrate the lifestyle that we should be living is to illustrate the lifestyle that we shouldn't be living. And then when we talk about the things that we shouldn't be doing, then it makes it clearer of what we should be doing. And so when we look in Galatians, he's talking to believers. He's saying, believers, here goes some stuff that you should not be doing. Now, was he just throwing information out there arbitrarily? Just saying, hey, you shouldn't be doing this and this and this and this. No. He threw that information out there because there were believers who were living those lifestyles. They were actually doing those things. What? Are you saying church people do stuff that church people shouldn't do? Tell your neighbor, yes. Somebody said yes isn't good enough. We should have said absolutely. He observed and heard some things that were going on. So when we are talking about these things, we're talking about things that exist in the world today, but we're illustrating the things that us believers really should not get ourselves involved in. So when we went to Galatians, the 5th chapter, we were reading the 16th verse, and let's talk about who we are. And so Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts We got this body that we got to live in. But Yahweh has transformed our spirits in a powerful and what? Dynamic way. Who's been transformed? We got any transformed? Right. So the fact that you're transformed means the stuff that you used to do, you don't do no more. Right? We used to drink and get drunk. It'd be best if we didn't do that anymore. Right? We used to party hardy. It'd be best if we did not do that anymore. We used to smoke. I'm going to give you the old school and the new school. Old school is reefer. Am I right? That's old school. New school is kush. Those are things that we did in the former life, right? We knew what those things would lead to. And we said in our hearts that we want a different way of life. We're tired of the hangovers. We're tired of the hangups. We're tired of the depression. We're tired of the craziness. We're tired of the drama. We're tired of the ratchetness. The ratchetness. We're tired of it. We want to live, we want to be free from that. We want to be redeemed from that. We want to be delivered from that. And Yeshua came, we got baptized in his name, went down in the water, transformed, came up with the Holy Ghost, with new life, a new chance, a way to start all over again. Right? And so that's how we said we want to live. We want to live this. So then why would we go back to the old stuff again? Because see, the flesh wants the things of the world, but the spirit wants the things of Yahweh. So there is a war going on between that new man and that old man. So what we have to do is we got to make the spirit man stronger. The spirit man needs to dominate the natural man. The spirit man needs to be on steroids. Spiritual steroids. Because you know this word is just, it's awesome, right? So we want the spirit man to dominate the natural man. So listen, you're a man, you're a woman. You're going to have flesh. Your flesh is going to respond. So when you see, brothers, when you see something, that flesh is going to catch it. It's going to see it. It don't mean that you're bad. But now you got to let that spirit man overcome and say, okay, stop. That's enough. Shut it down. Right? We're going to see things, right? Because why? It's that old nature. But we have the opportunity to let the spirit man dominate if we do something called walking in the spirit. Walking in the spirit means we live that lifestyle of set apartness or holiness. And so this is what this was saying. If we go to the 16th chapter, it says, this I say, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Oh, but you know, I see stuff and you know, I find myself. Well, where are you? Where places are you positioning yourself in, right? But it's so hard. Listen, walk in the spirit. If you walk in the spirit, that means that you're making decisions that are going to keep you right there in the spirit realm, right? You're going to live a lifestyle in the spirit realm. And so what we are doing is we're going over all of the points, all of the things that the apostle is telling us in this passage of scripture that we should avoid. So it says right here, 16, if you walk in the flesh, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit
against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to. So these things don't get along. One is saying one thing, and the other is saying the other thing. And y'all, listen, the flesh is not just about sex. Sometimes when somebody says something sideways to me, I want to respond in the flesh. Now, I have a couple things I could do. I could respond to you and say some stuff to you to put you straight. Some of the stuff is not how I should be talking. Hello? But the words come in the mind. That's so and so and so and so. Right? But the spirit man says, hold up. You're a believer. You don't respond that way. So that war is going on in my mind, and the end result is I say, praise Yahweh. But I had some choices, or shall I say, some choice words. Right? But we as believers have to process that. Now, another thing is, you know, I get a twitch. I might get a twitch in my right hand. And that right hand wants to raise up, not necessarily in praise, but it wants to raise up and go across your head. Because that's what the flesh wants to what? Do. So as it twitches and I draw back and the war goes on, and if I let the spirit dominate, it turns to a raising of the hand. Instead of a swinging of the hand. Y'all know you've had that war go on. You know, even, and see, you guys have wanted to knock believers out. Somebody said, yes. But don't you know that even if you're warring with unbelievers, you're supposed to still make that spiritual decision to what? Not knock them out. Not cuss them out. Somebody said amen. But the beauty of it is when he talks to us and tells us these things. You know, somebody knocked out somebody last week. Somebody cussed somebody out. But you can get redemption and forgiveness, because that's how merciful and gracious Yahweh is. He gives us an opportunity to get it right. Right? We're not riding on that, but it's the, just like today, he gave us an opportunity to experience Holy Communion. Right? Everything that we need was at the table. And he gave us an opportunity to examine ourselves and get it right. So we really want to make a choice. I mean, you know, it's good to know he'll be there if ever I fall, but it's better to know that I don't have to fall at all. He's given us power to not fall at all. He's given us authority to not fall at all. He's given it to us. We got it. We don't gotta fall, right? So when we look here at what he's saying about some of the things, if we walk in the Spirit. So here we go. We're here at Galatians, and let's go to 18. But if you led of the Spirit, you are not. Actually, let's go to 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. In the New King James, it says, so that you would not do the things that you wish, because the flesh wants to do stuff. But if you walk in the Spirit, then you will not be making the choices of the flesh. You're not letting the flesh dictate what you're going to do. You're letting the Spirit dictate what you're going to do and act and respond. And so, it says, 19th verse says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which just means that they're evident, it's obvious, and it says, which are these? Adultery, we talked about that at great length. Fornication, we talked about that at great length. We found out a lot of things about fornication. Fornication, the Greek word for fornication is porneia. So when you hear that word porneia, you see that a lot of things of the flesh come out from porn. That's where pornography came from the word porneia, which means fornication. And everything that's involved in pornography is fornication, right? And so he says you should flee those things, right? And so we talked about that at great length. Flee fornication. All right. And so the next verse that we're reading here, and when we go down, it says they're manifest. Adultery, fornication. Uncleanness. That's where we left off. What is uncleanness? Well, uncleanness is impurity. Uncleanness is lustful motives. So when something is unclean, it means that at one time, when we're talking about believers, it was clean. And when you think about when you went down in the waters of baptism and you received the gift of the Holy Spirit, that moment of transformation, you were what? Clean. Just think of, let's transport ourselves back there. Think about how you felt. Didn't you feel like a weight had lifted off of your shoulders? Didn't you just experience so much joy and peace? You felt good, right? Well, that was the moment of cleanness. So uncleanness means impurity set in. So it's not as clean as it once was, right? And so impurity, lustful motives. When we look at the Greek and the Hebrew, it means unfit for divine service. What would make a believer unfit for divine service? Well, it's a plethora of things. And all of it does not lead back to sexual sins. Saints, the Bible says we can get angry, but it tells us to sin not. And ultimately, we're supposed to forgive. So if you have a heart of unforgiveness, if you have a heart of bitterness and anger, then that makes you or positions you to be unfit for divine service. And even if you're unfit for divine service, that means that you are considered unclean. Pastor, just because I don't forgive nobody, does that make me unclean? Tell your neighbor yes. Why? Because he's expecting us to be ready for service, right? And if we go here, furthermore, what's the next word? Lasciviousness, right? Well, it means lewdness. It means nasty. I mean, sometimes I wish I would do a version of, you know, of this, of some of these scriptures, and just put in today's stuff, just so I could hit, you know, folks that, you know, right? What kind of words would we use for lasciviousness? Throw out some today words that I could put in my version. Same thing. Ratchet. What else? Ashy? Yes. Huh? Yes. He said nasty. Just a bunch of stuff. What? Hoarders. That's nasty.
Yeah, I mean, all of those things are descriptive of what? Is it something that's pleasant? No. Raggedy? Trifling? All these things, right? This is ways that we think. This is things that we do. And let me go here right quick. These are things that we, are ways that we act in towards each other. Uncleanness can also mean innuendo. Things that taint you, tainted, unclean, you're tainted. Well, have you ever heard people tell them inappropriate jokes? There are believers telling jokes. You know what I'm saying? Jokes that give innuendo. It's not like you've done anything, but you're alluding to stuff. The stuff that you say is right there on the edge. And I think I've mentioned this before. It's your conversation. The stuff that you say. But in today's day in society, it's not just what you say. It's what you text. It's what you email. It's what you post. It's what you Instagram. If you are posting stuff and saying stuff that's not clean, then you're allowing the uncleanness to start tainting your thought processes and your lifestyle. Tell your neighbor there's a word called inappropriate. Inappropriate. Tell your neighbor that word means that it's not appropriate. Well, there are believers that are doing stuff that is not appropriate. I see it all the time. Who knows what an acronym is? Who doesn't know what an acronym is? It's okay. Okay. An acronym is when you take the first letters of each word of what you're trying to say. So when I say ASAP, A-S-A-P, means as soon as possible. All right? You with me? You following me? Well, sometimes there are some inappropriate acronyms that believers are using, which is just like, it's inappropriate. It's unclean. And in this day and age, let me just reveal it. If it's not just you coming out and saying the curse words now that make it wrong. It's you typing the curse words. And it's you coding the words. Are you following me? Okay. So last week, I'm not going to get in trouble for this because the apostle said it. He said, if hell is where you want to go, he said, go to hell. You remember he said that last week? Did you say that, apostle? He said he did. And the church was in a, what? But it's the truth because some people have made that a bad word, but it's not a bad word. It's a bad place. So he said, go to hell if that's where you want to go. And me, in my vernacular, I've told you in church, you know, hell is trying to tell you stuff. Hell is trying to influence you. The demon and the devil and his minions are trying to get you to do stuff. So they'll make requests to you. And so you have to decide if you're going to tell them yes or if you're going to tell them no. So what I tell you is sometimes you have to tell hell no. Right? And so he said, go to hell, and I said, hell no. Right? Now, there's nothing wrong with it. But then there's another acronym that's out there. That's WTH. Okay? All right? What the? How? What the what? You guys don't want to say it. You're scared. I understand. Now, that is borderline. That's you don't mean it like me and Apostle are meaning it, because we're talking about the place. But when you say WTH, you just venting. You like WTH. You ain't talking about the place. Now, believers, should you be WTHing? Okay. Now, there's another one. WTF. Now, you just cussing. There's believers that are WTFing. You're saying that in your text message. Now, is that appropriate? It's not appropriate. For who? Believer. I don't think it's appropriate for nobody, but they do it. But what happens is that believers, when you start to use those acronyms and to speak like that and to say those things, it starts to penetrate your spirituality. Would Yeshua say that? And that is how we're supposed to be patterning our what? Lives. But the Bible said it's the little foxes that eateth up the what? It's not the big stuff that we do, and it's the little things. So let's go here. I want to take you to, just so we can talk about that for a moment, Let's go to I'm trying to go a little faster today. I know that we have some things. I want to go to, thought I had it here, but let's take it to Matthew, the 5th chapter. The 5th chapter of Matthew, or as we say in the Hebrew, Matet Yahu. Okay. And it says this. Are you with me? The 5th chapter. And we're going to go to the 13th verse. It says, ye. You see that? All right. So, Matthew 5, 13 says, you are the salt of the earth. Who is the salt? You are. Who are you? You're believers. So you're the righteous. You're the just. Right? You're the transformed. You're the sanctified. You are the salt of the earth. And there's a whole lot of good things, attributes that salt has. Salt can preserve stuff. Right? It makes things last longer. Salt also makes things taste better, right? And I like, you know, not just salt. I like to consider myself Larry's, because, you know, I got some extra, you know, stuff there, right? So we make things better because we're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, what does it say? Wherewith? That means if the salt has lost its savor, how can I even use it for the purposes that I need to use it for? Salt has many
purposes. It's also a cleanser. It's a detoxifier. And so if I and don't have those qualities anymore, then what happens? Can he use me? Tell your neighbor, you'd be good for nothing. Right? How? Because every time you allow the lifestyle of the enemy to come in, you lose some of your savor. Every time you say stuff and do things that are inappropriate or unclean, you lose some of your savor. You lose some of your power. You lose some of your authority, right? You lose some of your testimony. Are you following me? Does the kingdom gain anything when you cuss somebody out? When you tell people, oh, I'm saved and I'm sanctified and I'm spirit-filled, I go to Christian's community, I go to 3CLA. I use the name Yeshua, which means he will save. And they say, okay. And you telling people on your job who you are and your friends who you are. And the next day, you acting a fool. The next day, you cutting up. What happens to your testimony? Some of you, you're the only believers on your job. So you done told them, so they said there's supposed to be something different about that person. Because Monday, you were saying, ooh, you feeling good. Then Tuesday, you start acting a fool. What happens to the testimony of Yahweh in your life? So when we go back to the word and says, if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing. So if you're going to cut up and act a fool, Yahweh says, basically, you're good for nothing. I want to use you. The reason why I sprinkled you in there with those other people on that job, or them other people in that situation, or the other people in your family, is because I wanted you to have a transforming effect on them. I put you in that situation because I wanted you to change the atmosphere. I wanted you to keep your testimony so they could see how great I am and how wonderful things that I can do in your life, and they'll see what I did for you and they'll say, hey, if he did it for them, he can do it for me. If he changed them, he can change me. Because you all know some of y'all sitting up in here with some rebel rousers. I knew some of y'all. There's so many powerful testimonies in this room. Yahweh took some of y'all out of some crazy situations. Some of us drug addicts, alcoholics, right? Some of us was revelers, partiers. Some of us was gang members. And look at us today. We are free. Right? And so when you hear of a testimony of what Yahweh has done and transformed somebody, then my expectation is that, wow, he changed their life. And when people now look at you, they'll say, wow, their life has been changed. So we got to maintain that. But what does the scripture say if we don't allow that to happen? How do we maintain that? Holy lifestyle. So it says right here, you are salt on earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. So that means you so good for nothing that
We might as well toss you out and let folks walk over you.
That's pretty deep. But 14 says, you are the light of the world.
Tell your neighbor you're a light.
You're a light of the world, which means that because you are a light of the world, you're in certain situations so that you could enlighten and shine, right? So you can bring the light to the darkness. And it says, a city that is set on a hill cannot.
So that means people are going to see you. People are going to come to you. People are going to be drawn to you. When they see that light, have you noticed when people just, why are they coming to me? Has it happened to you? Why they, people, and then you got people that want to tell you their problems. Why do they want to tell you their problems in that situation? Because there's a light there. And they feel, they don't even know why. But they just feel, you know, I feel I could talk to you. And when you do that, what happens to their life? You ask yourself the question, why me? Why are they coming to me? Because you're a city set on a hill. Tell your neighbor, you a city set on a hill. You a city. Guess what? Some of y'all try to hide. But a city set on a hill cannot be hid. There's too much glory there. There's too much brightness there. There's too much radiance there. So you're trying to slide into the background. Yahweh says, I didn't change you and transform you for you to slide into the background. I changed you and transformed you so I could sit you in the hill so everybody could see what I did and what I can do. That's why he did it. So you can't be here. Well, I'll just be trying to slide in the bathroom. Nuh-uh. He wants to use you. He wants you to do something for him. Some of y'all sit on testimonies. He did some stuff for you that is just incredible. But you don't want to tell nobody because it's like, well, that's my business. Uh-uh. It's not your business no more. That's Yahweh's business because he wants people to know what he did for you. Well, you know, Yahweh got me out of debt, but that ain't nobody's business. No. You need to tell somebody because that's what Yahweh can do, right? And so when we go here to the next one, it says what? It says, what does it say? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. 15th verse. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a what? On a lampstand. The correct translation is a lampstand. And it giveth light unto all those who are in the house. Yahweh lit you up. And because he lit you up, y'all must not understand the nature of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is powerful. The Holy Ghost is strong. The Holy Ghost is something that is basically spiritually nuclear. So much so that if you allow that Holy Ghost to go, in the original church back in the New Testament, when the shadows of the anointed people would cross over people, people would just be healed because the shadow of the person. People were healed instantly. That was the Holy Ghost. That was power. But if you let that radiance and that shine and that light come through, you can't put that under nothing. You can't hide that. I told before, you know, Yahweh saved us, but sometimes we put ourselves in some situations. Sometimes we make bad mistakes. So, you know, when I was in college, I went to parties, and, you know, I tried to fit in. I tried to hide the light. And I'm sitting there in the place, and someone comes up to me and says, "What are you doing here?" Well, next thing I knew, they was gone, and I was like, wow. They didn't even know me. But I knew I wasn't supposed to be there because I'm a light. And I can't hide it under a bushel, but rather I need to take that Holy Ghost, put it on a lampstand, and let the world see it. Yahweh's looking for some lampstand saints. Hello? He's looking for some lampstand saints that are going to let the light shine. So we got to remember the pursuit, the passion, the hunger for holiness is something that we have to choose. See, I love the scripture because you have a choice. You can put it, try to put it under a bushel. Yahweh can't make you put it forth. He's giving you the light, but it's up to you what you do with it. And he wants us to choose wisely. Let's bow our heads. Father Yahweh, we thank you for the light. We thank you for the transformation. We thank you for your Holy Spirit.